Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Dalet. And we're going to begin on the very top line, where we requote the Braisa that we began learning yesterday. And there were four things that we learned in the Braisa. The first three we discussed, and now we'll discuss the last item. And that was Musaf Sak Al Habeged. There is an additional din that applies to a sak. In Deep Ramasko Sak on the third line in Rashi tells us that this sak is something who osui me notza shel izim. It's made from goat's hair. Sha'afal pishenu orig, it's not normally woven, as we'll see. We're talking here about elakela koton. It's a certain type of a small weave that we're going to be talking about. So there's an extra chiddush in regards to the sak versus a garment, a beged made out of, let's say, linen or made out of wool. In this situation, shetamei mishum orig, that we give it, even if it's less than the shear of 3x3, either 3x3 tefachim for a rich person, or 3x3 etzbos for a poor person, which are the normal minimum standards for something to be mekabel tuma, here the sak has an additional aspect over a beged, that it can be metame even if it's very small, because of this concept that it's woven, because of orig. So Gemara says, otu beged lav origu. So wait a second. Linen isn't woven, so every garment is woven also. So what is special about this notza, about this sock, this goat's hair type of a garment versus a linen type of a garment? So Gemara says, Hochikamar, this is what this Braisa is telling us. Musaf sak ala beged, there's an additional din that applies to this goat's hair, this sock, that doesn't apply to a beged, that afa pishenu orik tomi, even though it's not fully woven, this sock can still accept tumah if it's very small, if it's less than 3x3. Why? Lamai chazi, what value is there for something that's so small, that by a sock that we don't find by a beged? So here, Amar Yochan, he tells us, shekein oni kolea shalosh nimim, because a very poor person who can't afford real jewelry, a real necklace, is going to take three strands of this hair, labdafka, these three strands of hair over here. It means that he's going to take some sort of goat's hair, and he's going to twist it. That's what Rashi said. This kela koton, which is made, continuing that Rashi, on the fourth line from the top in the Rashis. Also, minotza shel izim, litlos bo bote nefesh letzavor bito. He's going to make some sort of a little necklace that she can hang her charms on, and she'll wear that around her neck. And this can accept tumah. Shadarko bakaka, this is a normal type of a thing, even though it's very small, but this is a normal thing that an oni makes, and therefore v'takshidu, and it's makabel tumah. So that's what this Mosaf Sak is over here, that it's makabel tumah because mishum orik, v'afal pishen or orik. It's a little bit woven, but it's not fully woven. And that's the difference between this and a beged, and that's why this is Mosaf al habeged. Okay, that concludes really the brisa from yesterday. Now we start with a new brisa, Tana Rabban. And here we're going to have a long, detailed drosha discussion as to how we learn out certain things in the makabel tumah. So this first brisa deals with tumas sheretz. The next brisa will deal with tumas mace. And we're going to make comparisons back and forth between tumas sheretz and tumas mace in terms of certain types of garments being able to be makabel tumah or not. So the first brisa again is by tumas sheretz. And the pasuk tells us, Tana Rabbanan, sak, a goat's hair type of a garment. Ainli ala sak. The pasuk says that could be makabel tumah sheretz. It says the word sak, so we know that that's makabel tumah sheretz. How do we know? However, minayin lirabo says hakilkali v'es hachabok. What are kilkali and chabok? So Rashi explains he uses foreign language words, but these are basically various types of straps that are made out of this goat hair that tie various parts of the horse's harness or the horse's saddle to the horse well, one towards the top of the body, and that's the kilkali, and one towards the bottom of the body, that's the chabok. So these are made out of goats here, and how do we know that they're also included in this definition of sak? So the pasuk says, Talmud Omar osak. So this tumah sheretz applies to this kilkali and chabok as well as the sak itself. Once we're being marbe, yochol shani marbe, esa chavolim yesa mashichos. Once we're being marbe already, the kilkali and the chabok, let us also be marbe chavolim or ropes. And mashichos is like a measuring tape that they would make from goat's hair. They would cut it a certain distance, and they would know that it measures a certain amount. So one might think that these are also makabel tumah. Talmud Omer, the pasuk says sock. No, it has to be like a sock. Ma sak tovi v'orig, just like the sock is made out of, over here, this spun, tovi means spun, orig means woven pieces of goat's hair. So anything that is made in that fashion, af kol tovi v'orig, such as the kilkali and the chabak, but this comes to exclude these ropes over here, the chavolim and the meshichos, these various types of measuring threads over here that they were using, like a measuring tape, because they weren't tovui v'orig. That's the first brisa. This deals with tumah sheret, so we know that it applies to a sack, kilkali and chabak, but not to the chavolim and meshichos. Now we have another brisa. Harei Omer, the pasuk tells us in regards to tumas meis, and it says v'chol kli or v'chol maisi izim. Now the whole pasuk is as follows: v'chol maisi izim, v'chol kli eitz. We have that as v'gomer over here, and then it continues and it says tischato. And it says that this extra word, v'kol, v'chol ma'ise izim, that's coming to be marbo v'yelarabos ha'kilkali v'yesachabok. So here's how we know that both by the Tumah Sheretz, which we had the previous price and the psukim, where we had the extra word o, and here it tells us that the extra word v'kol ma'ise izim, that comes to be including the kilkali and the chabok. I, again, yocho shani marbo v'yesachabol v'yesachabok. So once we include everything, let's include the chavolim and the b'shichos as well. So the Gemara says, that's not even a havamina. I would have said that I don't need a pasuk. We'll see in a moment we have a pasuk. But the Gemara says, v'dinu, I would be able to exclude the chavolim meshichos on my own. How would I know that? Because timei b'sheretz. Because by tumah sheretz, it's metamei the sak and the kilkali and the chavol and the chabok, but not the chavolim and the meshichos. And we have tumas by sheretz, and we have tumah by meis, v'timei b'meis. Now, ma'ashe timei b'sheretz, when it's metamei by the sheretz, it's only metamei things that are tov of yorig, lo timei ela tov of yorig. So too, by the tumas meitz, av shech timei v'meitz, lo timei ela tov of yorig. So the same rule should have applied. I would have said, just like by sheretz, it doesn't include the chavolim and the meshichos. So automatically, it shouldn't include by tumas meitz, the chavolim and the meshichos. Why do I need a separate pasuk? Why would I have thought that should be marba? Moses says, really? Hen? Rashi says, this is a lashon of bismi over here. Tmiyahi. Is this really correct? In Hekel Batime Sheretz, if you're making a kula by Tumah Sheretz, Shehikala, Tumah Sheretz is a much lighter Tumah than Tumah Smeis. So therefore, by Tumah Sheretz, you say, okay, it doesn't include it. However, Nekel Batumah Smeis, would you automatically assume that the same kula should apply by Tumah Smeis, Shechamur, which is a much stricter din? So therefore, on my own, I wouldn't have been able to learn that from a din who I wouldn't have been able to make a comparison and say, oh, if it doesn't apply by Tumah Sheretz, it doesn't apply by Tumah Smeis. No, it doesn't apply by Tumah Sheretz because it's lighter. But by Tumah Smeis, it should apply. And therefore, when it says, b'chol ma'ase izim, I might have thought that it should include not only the kilkali and the chabok, but it should also include the chavolim and the meshichos. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, we need the gzeirah shava that we're about to introduce. It says, beget or by Sheretz, and it says, beget or by Tumas Meis, and this is L'Gzeirah Shavah. Now I have L'Gzeirah Shavah, which will knock aside any questions that I might have, that one is more chomer, one is less chomer, because of L'Gzeirah Shavah, by Beged Or, that we have by Sheretz and by Tumas Meis, that comes to tell me that they have the same din. What is this L'Gzeirah Shavah? Ne'mar Beged V'Or B'Sheretz. It says by Tumas Sheretz, Beged V'Or. And it says, Ne'mar Beged V'Or B'Tumas Meis, B'Meis. So therefore, I can make now the comparison. Ma beged be'or amur b'sheretz. Just like by beged and or that's written by sheretz, it's only metame, the kilkali and the chabok, and not the chavol and the meshichos, because lo timei ela tov of yorig, only things that had this characteristic of tov of yorig is included in tumas sheretz. So too, through the gzeirah shavah, av beged or amur b'meis, through the gzeirah shavah, beged or, lo timei ela tov of yorig. So we only need over here to include in Tumas Meitz the Kukali and the Chabak, and not the Chavolim and the Meshichos, because they're not Tov of Yorik. Now the Gemara says, Ma Beged V'Or Homer B'Meis. Now learn it the other way. Meged V'Or that are written by Tumas Meitz, Timei Kol Ma'ase Izim, it's Matame, anything that's made from the goat's hair over here. So then, Af Beged V'Or Homer B'Sheretz, Timei Kol Ma'ase Izim. So then, you could work the Gzeirah Shavah the other way, and say, I don't need the Pasuk O Sak. So why do we need the pasuk Osak? The Gemara will explain in a moment. So the Gemara says this is Gzeirah Shavah, and it will be a very valuable Gzeirah Shavah. And it also teaches me something else. We'll get to our question then. What do I need Osak for in a moment? So this would tell me only goats here, things that come from a goat. Minayin l'rabos, a similar type of material that comes from a horse or a cow. Minayin l'rabos dover abo miznav asus. If you have the tail hairs of a sus, or miznav, the tails of a para, that also is included in this din of tumas sheretz. How do we know that? Tamalomer osak. Here I have the word osak to come to use extra. It, O was extra, so the Osak comes to include the horse and the cow tail hairs. Shmuel says, "Wait a second, we needed that Osak. You told me we needed that for Kilkali and Chabak." Shmuel says, no, we don't need it. Hani Mili Mikami Deles Xer Shava. I used that before I knew we had the Xer Shava. Oh, Hashdu Dios Xer Shava. I actually learned out the Kilkali and the Chabak from the Xer Shava, Begidor. So now I have the extra word Osak free. And therefore, Ayiturle, it's extra, and it can be used to teach me the din that the tail hairs of a horse and of a cow are also Makabal Tumas Sheretz. Oh, I learned out the Kilkali and the Chabak from the Xer Shava, and the word O, which we originally said was to teach me the Kilkali and Chabak, is now free. It's extra, it's Ayutar, and therefore it can be teaching me the din of the tail hairs of the horse and the cow. Beautiful. But that would only tell me, Vein Leil B'Sheretz, that would only tell me that this applies to the tail hairs of the horse and the cow. That would only apply to the Sheretz. How do we know Tumas Meis B'Nayin? How do we know Tumas Meis? Before the Gemara gives us the teretz of our Gzeir Rishava, it says, but couldn't we have learned it through a logical deduction, through a Kal V'Chomer? V'dinu, I would have said it's a Kal V'Chomer. Timei Meis, if you have the din of Tumas Meis over here, V'timei B'Sheretz, and you have the din of Tumas Sheretz, so Mak Kishatimei B'Sheretz, when something is Mekabel Tumah from a Sheretz, Osar Dover Habor Miznav Asus Miznav Apar B'Maisi Yizim, and we consider them by Maisi Izim and by a horse and a cow's tails to be makabel by sheretz, so certainly afki shetimim b'meis, if something is makabel tumah in regards to meis, certainly it should be also dover abo miznav asus miznav apar b'maisi izim. If it's makabel it by sheretz, it certainly should be makabel it by the stronger tumas meis. Where it says, really? Hin? Again, this is a lawsuit of tmiya. Is that so? Why would that be true? Im hirbe tumas erev, if you're allowing it to be makabel tumah by a sheretz, you know why? Shehi meruba, because that happens all the time. It's a very common form of tumah. Tumah sheretz is very common. Narbi b'tumah shiva, but tumas meis is much more uncommon. Shimuetes, should you automatically assume that because something is metame tumah sheretz, it's automatically metame tumas meis? Again, there's no real kal v'chomer over here, and therefore we don't have the dinu, and therefore we use our gzeir shava talmud lomer. The reason why we learn out the horse tail and the cow tail, that they don't only apply to sheretz, but they apply also to tumas meis, is because begivar gzeir shava. We have our gzeir shava over here. Nema begivar b'sheretz says by begid and or by sheretz. Nema begivar b'meis says by meis. So therefore, ma begid v'or amar b'sheretz comes to include also dover abom miznav asus miznav apora kimaisi izim. They're included. The horse tail and the cow tail are included as Maisei Izim, and they're Mekabel Tumah by Tumah Sheretz, so too, do the Gzeir Shava. Af Begiv Yor, Hamer B'Meis, do the Gzeir Shava. Also, Dover Abom Yiznav Asus, Yiznav Aparek, Maisei Izim. Oh, this Gzeir Shava is the real source for this. And the Gemara comments, Umufne, that this word Begiv Yor is extra, and only if something is extra can you have no questions on such a Gzeir Shava. But if it's not extra, then you may be able to learn from it. We'll see parameters of this in a moment, but you could ask questions on it. And here we have a question. If it wasn't Mufne, the Ilav Mufne, if it wasn't that these were extra words, and therefore you can't ask a question, Ekel Mifrich, I would have had a question over here. I would have said, you know what, Mala Sheretz came Metami B'Chadasha. Who says, because it's Metami by Sheretz, that it's automatically going to be Metami by Tumas Meis? Tumas Sheretz is actually a smaller amount of a Sheretz, an Adasha's worth, a lentil bean's worth, so that's Metami by Sheretz. A lentil bean's worth of mace is not Metami. You need a Kezias of the mace to be Metami. So I wouldn't automatically have said this Gezer Shava should apply unless it was extra, because I would have a Pircha on it. So Gemara says, Taka, it's Mufne. La, yeah, it is. Afnuye Mufne. It is, in fact, extra. Because if it wasn't extra, we'd have a problem. And how do we know it's extra? Where do we see that the words Beginor didn't have to be written? Michte, let's take a look over here. Sheretz, it's Kash L'Shechvazera. We do have a comparison between Tumah Sheretz and Shechvazera, the Tumah of Shechvazera. The Chsiv by Shechvazera, it says, Ish, Asher Teitze, Mimenu Shechvazera. The man has a discharge of Zera. And then it says, Usomichle, through the adjacent psukim, it says, Isa Sher Yiga B'chol Sheretz, a man that touches a Sheretz. So therefore, we have this smichus over here, this connection between these two psukim. Now, Uksibbe B'Shechazera, it says by Shechazera, B'chol Beged B'chol Or, Asher Yeh Olav Shechazera, that this Tumah Shechazera applies to a Beged and an Or. So therefore, through the smichus of the parashios over here, if it applies to Shechazera, it would also apply to Tumas Sheretz with a Beged and an R. And therefore, Beged V'Or, the cause of Chamon B'Sheretz, Lomali. I wouldn't have needed that to be written by Sheretz because I already knew it from Shechva Zera. So therefore, it's extra. Shma Mino Liafnuye. So the extra words, Beged and R, that are written by Sheretz are extra. And therefore, you can't ask questions on this Kavah Chomer. Even though you have a question on it, when it's Mufna, you can't ask a question. Of course, that's great if you hold that it only needs to be mufna from one side. So if you only need to say that one of the two begid ors, begid or, is unnecessary and it's extra, and then you can't ask a question, that's great. If you hold like that, man diomar. Vakati mufna bitzadecharu. It's only mufna on one side. The only extra words are by Sheretz. We don't yet prove that the extra words begid or are also by Tumas Meis. So ha'nicha, this works out great. L'man diomar mufna bitzadechar, l'meidin bein nishivim. That when you have a gzereshava that has mufna on one side, you learn it, and no questions are asked. No pirchas. Oh, if we just have it by Beged or by Sheretz as being extra, that would satisfy that opinion, and no questions are asked. The fact that it's Tumah B'Chadasha doesn't mean anything, and you can learn the Gzeir Shav of Beged or from Sheretz to Tumas Meis. Wonderful. That's if you hold like that, Man D'Yomer, that Mufna Mitzad Echad is enough. But, Ela Man D'Yomer, L'Meid D'Meshivim, but according to Man D'Yomer, that says, if it's only mufna on one side, you can learn it out, but you can ask questions on it, lemeidin, you can learn it out, lemeshivim, but you have a pircha, ma'ik lemeimar, he would say that if you have a pircha, and here you do have a pircha, it's tamei becha adasha, and tumas meis is tamei becha zayis, so it's a pircha, and you would not be able to learn the gzeira shava. Shmuel says, taka de meis nami afnuya mufna. Even this man, the Rav holds that if both sides are mufna, both sides are extra, then you can't have any pircha. Ein meshivim. And here, the Tumas Meis, Begiv Or, is also extra. How do we know that? Let's take a look. Michte. Meis is Shkashu Shechva Zera. Meis is also compared to Shechva Zera. It says, Dechsev, the Pasuk, Vanogeh B'chol Tomei Nefesh, O Isha Shei Tetzi Menu Shechva Zera. So you have Tomei Nefesh, and you have Shechva Zera in the same Pasuk. Uksev B'Shechva Zera. And we already have B'Shechva Zera. It says, Chol Beru B'cholar. So therefore, it already is written by Shechva Zera, and it would automatically be true by Tumas Meis as well. And therefore, the Beged and Or, the Kosev Rechmona, B'Tumas Meis, B'Meis, Lomali, I don't need it. It's Mufnesh, Mamino Leafnuye, and that allows Xer Rishava to go back and forth from Sheretz to Tumas Meis, even though you have a Pircha, and all of the things that we learn can be learned through this Xer Rishava. Wonderful. That concludes that drasha. Now, we go and darshan the following pasuk that deals with some of these jewelry items. So the pasuk says, "Vanak rivis korban Hashem, ish asher motza kli zov etz odov itzamid tabas ogil v'chumaz." This is after they had the battle with Midian, and they won, and they took all of these booty over here, which is various types of jewelry, and they brought them as an offering to Moshe Rabbeinu for the Mishkan. So, what are all of these things that they brought? They brought this Korban Hashem. So they brought this Klei Zov. They brought various types of gold items, vessels, jewelry. Etz Oda. Now Rashi in Chumash says Etz Oda means a bracelet shel regel. Tzomit shel regel, he says. And the next word, Vitzomit, means over here Tzomit shel yad. Okay, so this is talking about various types of ankle bracelets and arm bracelets. And then it says V'tabas, that means a ring. Okay, those words we all know. And then it says Ogil V'chumas. So the Gemara says, what are Ogil and Chumas? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ogil Zed Defus Sholdadin. This is some sort of a jewelry that they would wear over their breasts. So some sort of a tachshit that they had over their breasts. And Chumas means Zed Defus Shol Beisarechem. This is some sort of a jewelry that they would wear over their uterus, over their Beisarechem, over Osomokum, in that general area where the woman's genitalia are. Fine. Amr of Yosef, he says, now I understand why. Now, Rav Yosef, throughout Shas, is blind, and he's the one who always darshans Targum. So he's the expert on Targum Unklus. So he says, now that you're telling me that Kumas is the Fush of Beisarechem, I understand why the Targum translates the word Kumas as a Mochuch. Now I understand why the Targum translation of Kumas is Mochuch. Because it means Dover Hamevi Lide Gichuch. They translate it as Mochuch. It leads to, Rashi says, Leitzonus. Gichuch means like a laugh. It means Leitzonus. This is a Mochum. This place over here where the Kumas is a place of lightheadedness. It's a place of levity that will lead to, unfortunately, Leitzonus. Now I understand why the Targum calls Kumas Mochuch. And further, Amalei Rabba Migufe de Krosh Mamida. Rabba says not only is it through the Tagum, you can see from the pasuk itself. The pasuk calls it Kumaz. What does the word Kumaz mean? He says a nutrikon. Migufe de Krosh Mamida. Kumaz is a nutrikon for Kan Mokom Zima. Kumaz means here's the place where there could be Zima, where there could be Leitzanus, where there could be all sorts of immorality. Now, before we have this, Moshe Rabbeinu gets mad. They bring these all these things as korbanos, so to say. They bring all these things to the base, to the Mishkan, to give to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu's mad at them. But he told Moshe, because he says, what are you bringing all this stuff over here for? What? Now, why would Moshe be mad that they're bringing a donation? So, Amar Nachman Amar Ravua, he says, Amar Moshe Yisrael, Moshe was upset with them. He says, why are you bringing me this donation over here? Shema chazartem l'kulkulchem arishon, did Rachman l'slan, as Rashi explains over here in the bottom of Rashi, shomai sishitim liznos esbenos moav, shema kachasisim b'midyan, you had the terrible episode with Pinchas and the Bnos Moav. So, did you do the same thing here over here with Midyan, that now you're bringing me an atonement for this? You're bringing me a carbon for this? Shema chazartem l'kulkulchem arishon? So they said, Chas v'shalom, Amar lo. He said, blow. Lo nifkami menuish. Rashi explains over here, lo nechsan midas Yehudis. No, we didn't do anything wrong. Not one person did anything wrong over here. Literally, it means, lo nifka, we didn't lose, we didn't forget, even one person. Every one of us did not sin. So then Moshe Rabbeinu says, what are you bringing a carbon for? Amar lo, imken kapara lama. So why are you bringing all this jewelry over here as a kapara? So they responded with a beautiful idea. Amar lo, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, no. In midday avera yotzano, we didn't do a real avera rachmana litzlan. However, midday hira lo yotzano, we saw a lot of these jewelries and we saw a lot of beautiful women, and we had hirhurim, we had thoughts about them, and therefore we want to be mechaper on our inappropriate thoughts. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu says miyad vanakre this korban Hashem. He says that's a very valid thing, and we'll bring this all to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Talmud Rabbi Shmuel in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they said the same thing. Why did the people over here, these soldiers, they need a kapara? So the Gemara says, we turn to the base. The Meisha Zonu Einayim in Erva, because Rashi says Zonu was a lashon of Mazel, and they filled up. Shenanu b'maris ayin, they saw over here either the women or these jewelry, and it gave them hirurim, it gave them inappropriate thoughts, and therefore they wanted to be mechaper for those inappropriate thoughts. And this is true, especially when it comes to arayis. Lo sasura acharei nechem. You have to be careful. Your eyes can lead you astray, and a person has to be very careful what he looks at. Amar Sheshes says, "Mibnei ma mano hakosov tachshitim shebechutz im tachshitim shebivnim." Why did the pasuk over here list in the same pasuk all these different types of jewelry when some of them are jewelry that's normally able to be seen, like the rings and the bracelets on your hand, and the other is the jewelry that is over covering up a part of the body that's normally not visible? So this is teaches a very important idea. Lo malach. Call it shalisha. If anybody looks even at the finger of a woman, that's where the ring is, and that's something that you could see. Kila mistaka, it's as if he's looking at the places that there is zima, that the person shouldn't be looking at the hidden parts of a woman's body. So therefore, you can't even look at the visible parts. Alachas kama v'kama, you shouldn't look at the places where a woman should be covered up. Okay, next mishnah. Now it tells us things that a woman is allowed to go out with on Shabbos. And if you've had questions about all the things that we said are also till now, we're going to have a huge kul over here, which basically is the heter that all women of today are going out into the streets and wearing jewelry, which we seem to have said until now is not allowed for a woman to do under certain situations. So this mishnah is an extremely important mishnah, and there's a tosis on this mishnah that is a tremendously important halacha l'maisa. In any event, yotza isha, a woman is allowed to go out, b'chutei seyar, with her own hair that she cut off, and now she rebraids it back into the hair on her head. Rashi explains that women like to go out with a full head of hair. It makes them look better, so they would go and braid hair into their own hair. So they could either braid their own hair that they had cut off, b'chutei seyar, and this is true, b'mi shalah, her own hair, b'mi shal chaverto, or take another woman's hair that was cut off and braid it into her own hair, and even b'mi shal behema, even if it was hair from an animal. All of this is allowed because a woman likes to have a look of a full head of hair. Gemara will explain, how come you need to tell me all of them? If you tell me one, wouldn't I know all the others? Okay, Gemara will explain that in a moment. Then the Mishnah continues, and it says, Ubeto tefes uvasarvitin. We had already explained previously that these were various types of jewelry that you can't go out with, but here it says, Bisman Shehem Tfurin, if they're sewn into her hat, so then there's no concern that she's going to come and take them off. The totefis is this frontlet like of jewelry, goes from ear to ear, and the other one is a certain type of jewelry that they would wear on their head, but when they're attaching it to their hat, it's sewn into their hat, so then there is no concern that they're going to come and take it off and show it to their friends, because they would have to remove their hat in order to do so, and that they won't do. Then it says you can go out bekvul. Kvul is another type of a hat that we had previously. Ubepeh nochris, or a shetel, a wig, a hair that came from another woman. This is allowed to be worn. And it says over here that she can do this lechotzer. She can't do this in a rishus harabim, but she could do this in lechotzer. We'll have a huge machlokas in the Mishnah. Is this lechotzer only going on the kvul and the peh nochris? That would be Rav's opinion. And then we'll have another opinion that says no, it goes on everything in the Mishnah. And that would be the huge kula that we'll bring down from Tosus, which is brought down in Halacha Lamaisa, how women are allowed to go wear jewelry today in public. In any event, it says here, Beferish, Bekovul, Bepeya, Nochris, Lechotzer. Only these right now, it says you can go into the Chotzer. Then it says a woman can also go out, Bemog, Shibi, Ozno. She can go out with some sort of a cotton plug in her ear. Rashi says that they would do this, Shinosenis, Livloa, Lecha, Shol, Tsoas, Ozen. She has some sort of a discharge, and she has an external otitis, and she puts this piece of cotton in her ear to soak up the lecha, the pus, whatever, the secretion that's coming out of her ear. Likewise, she go out with some sort of a cotton in her shoe. Rashi says, this is latanuk, it makes her comfortable. It's like a padding on her foot, so she's allowed to wear that as well. Likewise, the b'mokshiskino l'nidasa, she's allowed to go out with some sort of, like a tampon that will absorb the blood. Rashi says, b'osamokim, she puts it in that place, she'yivala bohadam, it will absorb the blood. And Rashi says, lo yitanef bigodel, it won't make her clothing dirty. Tosus doesn't like that. Tosus says, if that were the case, she wouldn't be allowed to wear it. So it says it shouldn't make her legs dirty, her thigh dirty, and it would dry up and would cause her pain, and that's why you're allowed to go and wear this. Okay, in any event, the Mishnah continues, she can also go out with pilpel. Pilpel is some sort of, they're translated as peppercorns. And Rashi says, this pilpel, aruch, this long pepper, no senesisha befir, she puts it in her mouth, sherecha ra. It's somehow surprising that a pepper will make her bad breath better, but she has bad breath, and this pepper, she's allowed to put into her mouth, we'll see, before Shabbos, in order that her breath should be nicer. Likewise, ubegal gal melech, or others have the gears of begar gar melech. What is this? She can go out with some sort of a piece of salt in her mouth, and Rashi explains, lirapos holy shinayim. This is somehow good for a toothache. So she can put this in her mouth before Shabbos as well, and go out with it, and Shabbos is not called carrying. And likewise, v'chol dover shenita l'sukpira, anything that she places into her mouth, she would be allowed to go and put this into her mouth. Rashi says, mib'od yom. This is, again, some sort of medicinal purpose over here. So she'd be allowed to go and do this as long as she did this before Shabbos. Ubavash lo titein l'chatchila b'Shabbos, but you can't put it out there on Shabbos itself, because then it looks like a person is intending to carry it on Shabbos. Now, it says, v'imnofal lo sachzir. If it falls out, you're not allowed to put it back. And again, that's why these things, we're not concerned. They're disgusting if they fall out. Nobody's going to put it back in their mouth. And therefore, there's no concern if you put it in that maybe it'll fall out and you put it back in your mouth. But it's telling us if it does fall out, you're not allowed to go and put it back. Either because it looks like you're going to carry it, that's your purpose, that's why you can't put it in on Shabbos, or it looks like you're doing refuah on Shabbos. If you do it before Shabbos, you're allowed to do refuah before Shabbos. But here, if you're putting it back in your mouth, it would look like you're doing refuah on Shabbos. Finally, the Mishnah concludes, it says, Shein Toseves, Shein Shozov. Now, some say that this is two separate things, we'll see in the Gemara. Others say that it's one thing over here, that it's talking about a false tooth. So Shein Toseves means a false tooth. Shein Shozov would mean a gold tooth. So either it's one thing, it's a false gold tooth, or it means two things, a false tooth or a gold tooth. And on this, Rebbe Matir, Rebbe says it's allowed to go out with it. Nobody's going to make fun of you and you're going to take it out as a result. The Chachamim say, no, Ostrim, people are going to make fun of you. It looks different, and the woman's going to go and take it out and carry it. If you say that this is one thing, it's a false gold tooth, one item, so then there's a simple machlokas here. Rebbe says you can go out with it, and Chum say no. If you say it's two separate things, so then there's no machlokas on the false tooth that's not made out of gold. That's it's going to look like your regular tooth, and nobody's going to say that you're going to come to take it out because they're making fun of you. And then, in this situation, the machlokas is only on a gold tooth. And Rebbe says yes, and the Chum say no. We'll see this more in the Gemara. First, we start off and say, why do you have to tell me all the different types of hair that a woman can go out braided into her own hair? You could go out with her own hair, you could go out with somebody else's hair, or even an animal's hair. So when I said tzricha, you need all three of them. Because di yashmin on di do, if you only told me her hair alone, I would have said, that's allowed, mishum de lo mois, it's not disgusting. And so Rashi says, you don't have to be concerned, the mishal fule mishum de mochaku Allah. You're not going to be concerned that other people are going to laugh at her and say, ah, oh, that's disgusting, you have somebody else's hair in your head. So the woman may come to take it off and carry it, and therefore, if it's her own hair, nobody's going to say it's disgusting. But I might have thought, if it's somebody else's hair, avo b'chaverta, the mois, which is relatively disgusting, and malo, maybe you can't go out with that because, you know what, people are going to make fun of her, and she's going to take it off. Oh, v'yashmin l'chaverta, if you only told me l'chaverta, you know what I said, okay, the basmino, it's not disgusting because it's human hair. But avo b'hema, if you're walking out there with animal hair, la barmino, it's not human hair, Ema, people are going to say it's disgusting, and she's going to take it and carry it to Aladam and Shusarabim. And therefore, lo, therefore you're not allowed to go and wear such hair. The Mora answers, Tricha. That's why we have to tell us all three of them. Mora continues to say, Tana, we learn in the Brights, Buvach lo tetsa yaldo b'shozakena. Now, that's the gears that we have. Tosa says it should actually say, Zakena mishum yaldo. Michelle Yalda first. But in any event, we'll just leave the gears that we have, and I'll explain why Tosus is concerned. That when you're allowed to wear this, you're not allowed to wear somebody else's hair. So the Brisa says, but you have to be careful. An older lady shouldn't wear a younger lady's hair. In other words, a lady who has white hair shouldn't put black hair into her head. And a younger lady who has black hair shouldn't go and put white hairs into her head. Where it says, Bishlam is a Zakena Mishal Yalda. I understand why you might have thought that a Zakena can put, who has grayish hair, let's say, and she puts black hair in, Sheva Chulot. You might think, oh, it looks a little bit better, right? Rather than having all white hair, she has some black hair as well. So that's why Tosa says this should be written first, because this is the whole reason for the Gzeira. So the Zakena should be coming first. The Zakena Mishal Yalda, I understand why you have to tell me that that's not allowed. Nevertheless, even though it might be considered a Shabbat, some are going to make fun of her and say, hey, you got black hair, you're a gray old lady, and she's going to take out the black hair and carry it down the Ramas Shusarab. So that's why it has to tell me that one. Ela Yalda Mishal Zakena, which young lady with black hair is going to go put gray streaks in her hair? Am I? So why is it necessary to tell me that? Where it says Gnayula, it's not something that anybody would do. What do you need to tell me? You're not allowed to do that. So where it says, no, I did the Tonis Kenim Shoyalda. That's why, since it said first that an older woman can't go out with black hair of a younger woman. So by the way, it tells you Toninami Yalda Bisholskan, a younger woman can't go out with the gray hairs of an older woman as well, even though it wasn't really necessary. Then we have the big machlokas that I alluded to. We said that the Mishnah seems to say that you only go out with this hat called the Kovul and this Peah Nochus, this Shaitel, this wig, into the chotzer. You can't go out into the shusar rabbin with it, but you can go out into the chotzer with it. So, is this lechotzer only going in the kovul of the peah nochris, or does it go in the whole mishnah? So, I'm a rav. Rav tells us, kol shal shul chacham lotzis mo shusar rabbin. Anything that the rabbi said, you can't go into the shusar rabbin, also lotzis mo lechotzer. You can't even go into your yard with it, because if you wear it into your yard, you may go wear it into the shusar rabbin. So, if it's forbidden to go into the shusar rabbin, then you're not allowed to even wear it in the yard when there's no problem of carrying it. Even if you take it off, there's no problem of carrying it. But the one exception is chutz mikavul upeh nochris, which we will explain why this is an exception. It's a woman shouldn't look bad in front of her husband. See, the things to make her look nice in front of her husband. In any event, this is the exception and the only exception to the rule. Now, along comes Rabbi Anoni Bar Soson, Mishmed Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. He says in the name of a Tana, Rabbi Anoni Bar Soson is an Amora, but he brings down the name of this Tana, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and he says, Omar hakol kikavul. Everything in the Mishnah is allowed to be going out with, just like you can go with a kovel into a chotzer, you can go all the other things into a chotzer as well. You can't go into a real Rishus Arabim, but you can wear them all into a chotzer. We don't make a gzer over here. If we allow you to wear it in the chotzer, you may come to wear it in the Rishus Arabim, and you'll take it off in the Rishus Arabim. We don't make such a gzer. Now, it's not. We learned in our Mishnah, Kikovul Ubefeh Nachwis, Bechavul, Befeir Nachus, Lechotzer. Only these are allowed to go. The simple reading is exactly like Rav. So, Bishlam L'Rav Nicha, it exactly sounds like Rav. El Rabbi Anoni, Bar Soson, Kasha. How does he learn that this goes on everything? Our Mishnah seems to say only with these two. The Kovul and Peir Nachus, only into the Chotzer. So, it's a big Kasha on Rav Anoni. So, the Gemara says, Rav Anoni, Bar Soson, Mishmei, Deman, Kamalei. He didn't say it on his own. He said in the name of somebody. Mishmei, the Rav Shmuel, Rav Yossi. He said in the name of the great Tana, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yossi. Oh, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yossi, Tana, who Apollo. So, he's bringing it down in the name of this other Tana. So, this Tana is arguing with the Tana of our Mishnah. How do we paskin? So, Tosos, the bottom Tosos, very critical Tosos, says, the Nira, the Halacha, Kirabi Anani. We paskin over here like this, make an opinion, Rav Anani. because he said it over the name of a Tana. Rabbi Shmuel Tanhu Upalig, and he's arguing with our Mishnah. So we don't pass like our Mishnah, we pass like this Tana. Furthermore, this is a machlokis in the Din Rabbanan. The whole thing is a gzeira over here, and when there's a machlokis in the Din Rabbanan, we usually go lekula. And therefore, Rav Anani, the mate b'chotzer, when he's mate to go out to a chotzer, hainu afilu b'chotzer she'enu merevis. He's even talking about a chotzer that doesn't have an eruv around it, which again is only nisa the Rabbanan to carry in. The b'chotzer merevis leko shum chiddush. There's no chiddush to tell me you can go carry wear this into a chotzer that has an eruv around it. That wouldn't be any chiddush. And therefore, Tosu says im kain, based upon this. Mutoros liskashit babayis ubechotzer. Women can go out into their yards, betabos with rings, ubetachshit and all sorts of jewelry. Why? But anush ain lana rishus harabim gomor. Because what's the worst case scenario? They're going to go carried into what we call a rishus harabim. That's only a carmelis because we don't have a real rishus harabim over here. The chol rishus harabim shalonu carmelisi. Number one, our streets aren't wide enough. And even if they are wide enough, below Samach Ribo, Bokim Bo, there aren't 600,000 people walking on them. And therefore, they are like a Chotzer She'en Mureves. They have the halachic status of you're not allowed to carry them, either a Bonon. Umutorus Noshim Shalom Liskashi Betabos Uvutachshitim Kipir Shrebenu Tam. And this Shita, they need 600,000, is the Rebenu Tam Shita. He says, therefore, women can go out with such jewelry into our unenclosed yards, into what we call the public domain, which is not real public domain, it's a carmelis. And therefore, we don't have a real Rishus HaRabim, according to Rebbeinu Tam, there is no problem. And this heter is one of the major heterim over here that allow women to wear jewelry today outside of their houses. Tosus explains this. Furthermore, Ayin Shom and the rest of this Tosus. In any event, the Gemara says, no, for Rav, Maishnohani, according to Rav, he only let you go out with the kulin peyanochus into the yard. Why only those into the yard? So Amar Ula, Kadesh Lo Tiskan Al Bala, as I pointed out before, that if we didn't allow the women to adorn themselves somewhat, they're going to become disgusting looking to their husbands, Kidatanya, like we're learning the Braisa. The Pasuk says that a Dova Binidosa, a woman, is considered a Nida over here, and she stays this Nida. Nida, Rashi tells us, is a state of Nidoy, that she's, so to say, excommunicated. In other words, she has to stay over here, outside, separate. Now, therefore, Zakeno Rishonim, therefore, in order to maintain this separation between the husband and the wife, the earlier Gedolim said, the Zakeno Rishonim said, she shouldn't be allowed to go and put on any sort of makeup. Shlo Tichol, she shouldn't put makeup on her eyes. Lo Tifko, she shouldn't put makeup on her cheeks. This is like a rouge. The Lo Tiskashit Bevidei Tzvonim, she shouldn't wear nice, colorful types of garments that would entice her husband, because she has to maintain over here Bini Dasa. Along comes Rabbi Akiva. Achabar Rabbi Akiva, he taught us, he says, if you're going to allow the woman to wear nothing, Imkain, if you don't allow the woman to put on anything, Imkain ata magana al bala, her husband's going to say she looks disgusting. But Rahman al Islam, the nimsa bala magarsha, and her husband will divorce her. So therefore, that's not what the pasuk means. Ela ma tamudloma vadova benidosa. What does it mean over here that she should stay separate? Benidosa. She has to stay as an ida. Hey, achil tabo bimaim, until she goes and is matar herself in the mikvah. But we don't make rabbinical decrees over here to say that she can't put on makeup, so she shouldn't look disgusting to her husband. That's what Rav says. The kavul and the peyanochus is allowed to be worn in the yard. Similarly, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, komokum shasru chachamim nei marasayin, whenever the rabbis decreed something for marasayin, this is really an idea of marasayin over here, that she shouldn't look bad to her husband. So, afilu b'chadri chadom asud. So, Rav Yehuda said, name of Rav, that anything that the rabbi said, it's going to look bad over here, so you can't do it. They didn't say you can't only do it in public, but you can't even do it in private. Tan, now we learned in the Mishnah, that's not true. Below Bazuga Pishapakuk. The donkey's not allowed to go out into the public area because it looks like you're taking it to the market when it has a bell on it, even if the bell is plugged up. Now, the Tanya Idach and another Brisa says that you are allowed to plug it up, however, Pokilozug with Savara Matailimabuchatza. In your own private domain, we're always going to see you. It's not a problem of Marasayan. It doesn't look like you're taking it to the Chinga, taking it to the market, and therefore in private you can. So this Mishnah seems to tell us, with the additional brisa, that it only applies in public and it doesn't apply in private. But Rav Yehuda, Rav said that Marisayin applies even when it applies in private. B'chadri chadarim. So what's going on over here? So Gemara says, you're right, Taka, Tanoi here. This is actually Machlokes Tanoim, the Tanya. And we learned in a Braisa, we turned to the Omer Aleph, that Shod Chom Bechama, the person's got, his clothing got wet, and it's on Shabbos, and he wants to go. Mishanoshu Kelev, Rashi says, B'derech Me'yusham, he was walking on the road on Shabbos, he was going coming home from Shul, and his clothing got wet. So now, he wants to take it off afterwards and put it out to dry. It stopped raining, so he wants to put it out to dry. So Shod Chom Bechama, he's allowed to go put his clothing out. However, Avolo B'Kenegit Om, he can't put it out where people can see him, because they're going to assume that he washed his clothing on Shabbos. But in a place where they can't see him, he's allowed to do this. Ah, this is a Maris Ayin concern, and yet you see only in public and not in private. Exactly like we just brought down, that the Mishnah says, in private, you can do certain things. But then, along comes Rabbi Elazar, the Gersha should be, not Rabbi Eliezer. Says, on the side should be Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, they say, Ostrin. Ah, that's what Rav said, even B'chadri Chadarim. Even when nobody can see you, you're still not allowed to do this over here. And that is the opinion of Rav, that even B'chadri Chadarim, Maris Ayin applies. So with this, we conclude today's shir.